today as we come to the table.
This is no ordinary event. They were obedient. God filled their nets, and Jesus was showing them in a practical way what he'd already taught them verbally, and that was this: you can do nothing apart from me, but with me you can do all things. It's just a lesson this for us today, guys. If we've been out on waters where we're not supposed to be, first of all, what are we doing out there? You know, when you go out in waters you're not supposed to be in, storms come. You may have storms in your life right now that you're not supposed to be in, and you wouldn't be in if you weren't out in the waters. Oh, I'm going through the trials. No, you might be going through trials, but it might be trials you created because you're out in waters you're not supposed to be in. Look, I've got enough trials when I stay in the camp. Is anybody with me on that?
As Pastor Mark continues his teaching series through the Gospel of John, he'll be challenging you to abide in Jesus. So to abide in Christ is to live in Him or remain in Him. When a person's saved, he or she is described as being in Christ, held secure in a permanent relationship. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. One of the proofs of salvation is sustained abiding in Christ. The saved will continue in their walk with Christ. That is, they will abide or remain in Him. God will complete His work in them, and they will bring forth much fruit to the glory of God. Don't allow anything or anyone to cause you to disconnect from the Lord. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of John, chapter 21, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
They leave doors open to things they should close. In this case, it was Peter going back to the old profession. For a lot of us, we leave a door open maybe to something we know we shouldn't be involved in. We kind of get away from it because we're Christians now, but we kind of leave the door open. The Lord is going to close that door at some point. He comes and He closes it. And this is going to be the day that He closes it for Peter and for the other disciples, because He'd already called them away from this. Remember, He told them after they caught the fish, and Peter's, you know, saying, "Lord, get away from me, I'm a sinful man." He said, "No, I'll make you fishers of men." It says they forsook all and they followed the Lord. And again, at that point, telling them, "This is not what you're to do anymore," but now the Lord's going to have to show up and redirect them. How many of us need to be redirected on a regular basis? I do. God comes back and redirects. You know, Mark, get back to the fundamentals. Get back in the Word. Get back in prayer. You know, get back where you need to be. Don't be toying in these waters you're not supposed to be in. I didn't call you there. I've called you here. I know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm doing. And I think it's sweet of the Lord when you realize the fact we only have these days down here to work on our reward and our service for the Lord until we enter into the kingdom. Isn't it sweet that we have a Father that loves us so much that He says, "I want to keep you focused on what you're supposed to do so you can have the full reward in heaven. And when you get there, then you can play. It's not playtime yet." Yes, God brings joy. Yes, God brings excitement. Yes, He makes life fun. He gives us all things richly to enjoy. But guys, the playtime, the reward of serving God, that's going to come in heaven. This is the tough time. You know, the hard times when you're plowing the garden, that's not any fun. You're out there in the hot sun and you're plowing with the rototill. And those of you that work in gardens or farms or whatever, this kind of thing, I still can't to this day understand people that think that's fun. But some people do. My dad used to think it was fun. He'd get out and get the rototill. I mean, that is not fun. That is dirt, mud, and hot. You know, I'm going to go play a video game or get on my skateboard or something. That's fun, right? But my dad knew that if he did that and planted the seed, there was a reward he would get later. Christian, you have great reward waiting if you stay focused on the plow and the seed. This is the time to work in the garden. This is not the time to play. Is it wrong to go and have fun on the lake or take a vacation? Of course you can do that. But if our life is focused on the pleasures of this life and we're not about our Father's business, are you still going to go to heaven? Absolutely. You still going to have a blast in the kingdom forever? Absolutely. Is your reward going to be less if you don't stay focused? Absolutely. And so I'm thankful that the Lord comes to us and goes, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, draw back in. Give me your attention. Back in here. Come on, gather back in. You know, it's like I remember working with kids. If you've ever worked with little kids, all you have to do is give them one reason to get off course, and there they go. One reason. It could be anything. You're saying, now, Jesus loves you, and you know, even the way you might love your dog, you know, because your puppy, because they're talking about the new puppy, Jesus loves you. I've got a parrot. Oh, that's good, honey. And then Jesus loves you. I've got a ferret. I've got this. I've got, and you're like, and by the time you're done, you're at the zoo. You're at the zoo going, everybody leave the zoo. Come back to Jesus, okay? But that's how little kids are, and that's how we are as grown-ups sometimes. All it takes is a little bit of something kind of fun and kind of flashy, and the next thing you know, it's like, yes, there's nothing wrong in that, and a hobby can be a great thing, and there's nothing wrong in that. But suddenly we find out it becomes the main thing, and it's our focus, and we live for the hobby. Guys, if we've done that, let's all gather back in. It's time to gather back in. We've gotten off target. We're focusing on things we shouldn't be focusing on. This is your moment. Take advantage of it. Don't lose it. And the Lord is drawing them back in. He's saying, you know what? You've gotten off course. I need to redirect you. I need to show you what it is. You know, we think sometimes that if, you know, we failed the Lord like Peter had, maybe we're being tempted to go back. It's never the answer to go back. And you can be sure that if you do, it will be unproductive. And at some point, the Lord will appear to you to redirect you to where you need to be. And that is, you know, we may give up on ourselves, but the Lord will never give up on us. And that's what I love about the Lord. Even if we get off target, God draws us back in. Even as the teacher with all those children is able to stay focused and say, this is cute and fun, but let's get back into what the lesson is. The Lord's doing the same thing with us. But another problem in this situation was Peter was a leader, which means what Peter did, the other guys followed, which in this case was not good, you see. It should serve as a warning to all of us that whether we like it or not, we are a leader in some direction. We're either leading people to the things of the Lord or we're leading people away from the things of the Lord. The question is, what kind of leader are we? Peter was now at this point actually leading them away from where they were supposed to be, not necessarily away from the Lord, but leading them away from where they were supposed to be. And the reason being is they were going back toward fishing in this professional manner. Well, again, it wasn't the fishing is the issue, but the professional manner when God had called them to leave everything behind and follow him. And notice the result of them doing something God had not called them to do. It was totally unfruitful. And again, that is, they caught nothing, although they fished all night, and that will always be the result of being outside of God's call and God's will for our lives. Note this, emptiness and fruitlessness, always. Why? Because God has called us to a new and higher life in him than we ever had before. Going back is never the answer. Once we've been saved and called by God, we'll never be happy or fruitful going back to the old life. See, you go back to the old life, you got too much of Jesus to be happy. You ever done that? Start trying to do some of the old worldly things again, you know, that seem to be so satisfying and fun. You're like, and it's like there's conviction. And it's not as fun anymore because you're a new person. You're not the same person that you were. Or if you try to draw close to the Lord and you're living in the world, the same thing happens. The world's interfering with your relationship with the Lord. It's all or nothing when it comes to the Lord. And so God has to teach them this. Peter needs to work this thing of trying to go back and do the old stuff out of his life. So do the other disciples. They caught nothing that night. Look at verse 4. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore. I love this picture. Here they are just out there wasting all this energy, all this strength, throwing this net all night, doing all this, nothing happening. And the Lord just kind of standing there watching and going, man. When are you guys going to learn? And he's going to gently call them back to shore, which, by the way, is what the Lord is doing for some of you this morning. You've been out fishing in waters you're not supposed to be in. I mean, you know it's fishy. You know it. You're casting nets where they're not supposed to be. You're wasting time and energy, and some of it may not even be sin. Maybe it's not necessarily even sin. It's just a waste of time. And the Lord's just down on the shore watching, going, how tired are you going to get? When are you going to finally look back over here and just accept my invitation to come back and sit at my feet again? I have a warm fire and some real food to eat. Not the coldness that the world's going to leave in you and the emptiness of what they offer. They can't satisfy. I'll satisfy you. And so God is beckoning some of us this morning in this same way. Notice the morning had come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples didn't know that it was Jesus. Again, I love this. Jesus lets them exhaust themselves in their old ways that used to bear results in their own strength, but now they had to learn in the spirit realm as his children. They would only see results by his spirit, his power, and his direction. And while they're out doing what they really were not supposed to be doing, they're coming up empty, yet Jesus is patiently waiting on the shore for them to come back. And he does the same thing for us. He's so patient. He waits on us. If we're somewhere we're not supposed to be in our life today, I guarantee you it's not fruitful. And the Lord's saying, how long are you going to waste your energy in that? Come back to shore where you're supposed to be. You'll not only see me, but you'll see me standing there waiting on you the whole time like I've been. And you're going to find there's some good fresh food on the fire, and there's a warm place to sit, and there's going to be communion. It's going to be sweet. Trust me. And so they had to learn this and had to respond to it. But I love this about the Lord as well, because look at this. When he calls them back to the shore, and again, we're going to get to this in a moment, and we're going to, again, next week, see it more fully, but I'm going to kind of tell you in advance, once he does call out to them and they start heading back, notice the Lord doesn't yell at them. He's not going to yell at them, which again, we could, you know, in our flesh, we could justify the Lord doing, you know. What are you doing? I spent 3 years with you guys. I showed you miracles. I gave people sight. I fixed, you know, that people could hear. I raised people from the dead. I give you one command. Go back to Galilee. Wait a minute, Galilee. And what do? You go back to the fishing business. I told you, leave that behind. You're never going to do that again. You're going to be fishers of men. None of that. We don't see any of that, do we? Now, if the Lord did that, probably some of us say, well, that's what they get. They deserve that. A good tongue lashing from the Lord, you know. That's good. They need that. We all need that. And something about us, when we do something wrong, we kind of like to get beaten, don't we? I don't know what it is, you know. There's almost something when you're a kid, you know, nobody wants to get spanked, right? And I don't know how many people still do that today, but when I was growing up, they still spanked. And some kids got spanked more than others, and I was a good candidate. And so, not so much at home, but at school, I got spanked quite a few times. Seriously, they used to do that back then. I don't know if they do anymore. I don't think they do. But you know what? It was like, kind of like felt good when it was done. It's like, okay, I paid for it. I paid for my wrong. And you almost had this relief come off of you. So there's almost this thing in us, we almost like, you know, want to get yelled at. That's not the Lord's way. The Lord paid for all your wrong on the cross. He took all the spanks and the lashes on his back and everything else. And the Lord's not going to yell at us. And we come back, well, you know, I've done so many things wrong and I feel so ashamed and I'm embarrassed to go back to the Lord. You think he doesn't know? You're going to show back up to the Lord and say, God, I need to get right. It's like, well, what's been happening? Well, I got to tell you this. Oh, you did what? He knows exactly what they did. He's not waiting on the shore to yell at them. Have a seat, something to eat. Let me love on you a while. And he will gently correct Peter next week. We'll see that. But it's based in love. It's based in gentleness. A gentle answer breaks a bone, the scriptures say. And how many times do we want to break that bone and not use a gentle answer, right? There's power in self-control. There's power in gentleness and what's right. And Jesus was the master at it. And if you've been out there floating in waters of the world you shouldn't be at, no real direction, no purpose, wasting time, continually coming up empty, Jesus isn't going to yell at you if you come back to shore today. He's not going to verbally berate you once he gets your attention. He's simply going to call you to shore, rather, and speak kindly to you in restoration. Some of you need to do that this morning. But again, notice when they saw him, it says they didn't even know it was the Lord. Sometimes the Lord can stand right in front of us and we don't even know that it's him. The Lord's trying to get our attention in a new way, like we talked about with Dale Earnhardt Jr. Try to do something new, get your attention. And I'm convinced that's what it was. And I'm convinced in our lives, you know, it's like, it's interesting. People say, I was so lucky. You know, my car broke down and this guy showed up out of nowhere and helped me fix my tire. And I ran out of gas and I was in the middle of nowhere. Somebody showed up out of nowhere and helped me. Listen, that's when this stuff happens, don't just think this is by chance. God is showing you himself in new ways. He's letting you know, when you are desperate, I will take care of you. I will watch out after you. I tell you, I can't tell you how many times I've learned to pray for even the small things in life. The small things. I want to pass this on to you. God cares about you in the small things, the intimate things. You know, we had a guy on our road that had a bobcat there. He's building a house across the street. They couldn't get the lid to come up. It'd been hours and hours that had been stuck. Started the day before. They're working the next day. We're walking by. He goes, would you guys pray for us? He was a believer. He goes, we can't get this crazy thing out. So we all stopped and we all prayed and we walked on. About the time we came back, he said, right after you guys walked off, the lid popped up. I've seen God do that so often. If we just stop and ask, yesterday I'm trying to fix the hinges on my doors. You have these doors that, you know, just sound like, you know, like Igor's coming in every time you open it, you know, welcome into my house. It's like, stop it. Trying to sleep. You know, it's the front door, the main doors to the garage of the house. So I'm popping all the pins out and putting this grease on and making last. And I'm telling you, I don't know how they got that pin in there, but the pin they had a second one, the moment you took it out, this thing always goes crooked, right? I don't know how much you push and fight and battle. I bet I spent 30 minutes trying to get that pen back in. And people helping me and everything couldn't get the pen back in. And I just thought to myself, you know, every time this happens, if I just pray, I mean, how long does it take me to figure that out? I prayed literally within probably 3 minutes, it popped in. And I'm thinking, God cares about the small things in our life. He cares about the details. He's an intimate God. And he wants us to understand him that way. And he wants us to know that he's an intimate God. And again, he wants us to know that he cares about every detail. He knows what we're doing. He's gentle with us when he calls us back to shore. He knows the details of our life. And the disciples needed to learn this. And so notice what happens here in verse 5. Jesus said to them, I love this, children, have you any food? He calls them children. And they answered, no. First of all, it's hard for any fisherman to admit they hadn't caught any fish. But even harder to admit after doing it all night they hadn't caught any fish. But as Jesus asked them this question, he's getting them thinking and pointing out just how empty this venture has been so they can see their foolishness. And he'll often do the same thing with us. He gets us thinking about what we're doing so we can honestly reevaluate. And right now, the Holy Spirit may be doing that to some of you, getting you thinking, what are you doing with your time? Where are you focusing the few days you have? Few days, I'm going to live to be 80 and I'm only 18. Well, you know what? It goes by really fast. I used to, it's funny when in the 50s, people say that, you're midlife. I wish. Midlife, I'd be 110 if this was midlife. So I need to do the most I can to take advantage of the time that I have left. It goes by quickly. And some of us need to reevaluate where we are this morning and to look at our lives and honestly ask ourselves, what are we doing? Have we caught any fish? Is what we're doing being productive for the kingdom? Is it even being productive in our lives? It's a good question. If not, why not? And what are we doing? And why are we wasting our time? The Lord is here this morning saying, I'll make you productive. I'll make you productive in your normal life and for the kingdom if you'll just come back to shore. Start spending intimate time with me again. Quit playing out there in the waters you don't belong in. Come back to me. And secondly, I love this. Notice he calls them children. As I said earlier, the Lord calls us children all through the scripture, even adults. He sees us as his kids, not in an insulting way, not in a belittling way, but in tenderness and affection. And I sometimes think that we can be so big in our own eyes, as the Bible says, don't think above yourself, more than you ought. Don't see yourself larger than you should be. It'd be another way to say it. We need to know that we're humble. If we realize that we're just kids, then again, God can use us in greater ways because it brings humility into our life. It's interesting. You meet people that truly walk in humility, and it's always just made such an impression on me. When I meet people like that, it's like, Lord, I want to be that way. Help me to be a person like that. I want to be that kind of person that is just naturally humble in every situation. I mean, you look back at videos and interviews with Billy Graham, with presidents and all these people. He was always just Billy Graham, so humble. He never had an attitude. He never had an air about him. And I'm not trying to lift up a man. I'm saying, I desire God to do that in my life. And when I see that, I'm jealous for it in a good way. And I remember, you see the pride. I see the pride growing up ahead of me. It's interesting. The Lord sees us as little kids. If you realize you're just like a little kid to the Lord, how do you get prideful about that? You don't get prideful. He's the one that knows everything. We don't. I remember growing up, I was not only the youngest in my family, I was the youngest out of all the cousins. So my entire life, I was little Marky. And that lasted all the way up till about 18 years old, no matter where we were. You're little Marky. That's just how it is. It bothered me a lot when I was little because you want to be bigger. It's like, I'm 10 now. Don't call me little Marky or whatever, and you're still little Marky. But anyway, you get up to 18, they're still saying little Marky. And it was neat when I came to the Lord because, again, God showed me something. He said, you're my child, and it's very endearing, and it's a place of not trying to be something important, not trying to be a big name this or big name that. And think about Saul. Remember Saul of Tarsus? He was the man that had all the PhDs and the big letters behind his name. He was the learned scholar among all of them. He was, you look back historically, he was, some say, possibly the highest ranking Sanhedrist besides the high priest. His reputation was amazing. If you read about him from secular history, Paul was well known, one of the favorite students of Gamaliel. He was the golden boy. He shined, and he goes off now to get all these crazy Christians who are deceived in their false teaching, and he's going to prove them all wrong. And on the way, God knocks him literally off his high horse. Remember, on the road to Damascus. And God says, I'm changing your name. Okay, that's great. What's your new name? Your name's going to be Paul. You know what Paul means? Small. He became little Paulie. That ministered to me. I was like, God, little Paul. Little Paul. I was little Marquis, little Paul. You can use little guys. And this is great. You took a guy that was big guy, which I never was, but you took a guy that was a big guy and made him little, and he was used in great ways. The problem is oftentimes we try to be so big. And if we just understand that we're God's little kids, you know, I get the sweetest sense sometimes. I'll go to the hospital and pray with somebody, and they could be like in their 80s. And I'll be standing there with them, and I get this sense in my heart from the Lord as I begin to pray. And a pastor will experience that. I don't know how to describe it any other way, but other pastors will tell you they do. It's not about the person. It's God ministering to the person through you. And I can feel the fact that this is his little girl. And it's the weirdest thing. Going, she's like 80-some years old. She has many years advanced on me. I'm nothing in age and wisdom compared to where this person is. But I, in my spirit, I said, this is his little girl. And I've even prayed before, Lord, this is your little girl. Just bless her. Show her how much you love her, Lord. And there's a sweetness to understanding. We're his kids. We're just kids. And I love it here. The Lord says, them children, you know, how you doing out there? You know, what have you caught? Have you caught anything? Any food? Basically ask them, they've been fishing all night. Is there anything that fed you out there in the waters you weren't supposed to be in that you couldn't find with me? No, nothing, Lord. And so again, if we're ever going to be fed and satisfied with anything outside of the Lord or try to, it's always going to come the same way. It's going to be empty. And we're going to say, Lord, this doesn't satisfy. And now all we've done is add more trouble to our life. And notice lastly, verse 6, and he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some. And they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. On the surface, it would seem this is one of the most foolish things anyone could ever say to professional fishermen. I mean, what in the world could be on the other side of a boat after fishing all night that wasn't on this side? And yet, they did it. You wonder why. Was it exhaustion? Was it just the move of the Spirit? Well, they were like, they didn't really know it was Jesus yet, but it's like, okay, we'll throw the net over there. I mean, you think of it, it doesn't even make sense. It would have been tempting, though, to think, who does he think he is? We're the professionals. But notice they simply obeyed him, and they're going to find out when the nets get filled here, this is no ordinary man. This is no ordinary event. They were obedient. God filled their nets, and Jesus was showing them in a practical way what he'd already taught them verbally, and that was this: you can do nothing apart from me, but with me you can do all things. It's just a lesson that's for us today, guys. If we've been out on waters where we're not supposed to be, first of all, what are we doing out there? You know, when you go out in waters you're not supposed to be in, storms come. You may have storms in your life right now that you're not supposed to be in, and you wouldn't be in if you weren't out in the waters. Oh, I'm going through the trials. No, you might be going through trials, but it might be trials you created because you're out in waters you're not supposed to be in. Look, I've got enough trials when I stay in the camp. Is anybody with me on that? If I go outside the camp and I add more trials to myself, God's not doing that. That's me doing that to myself. So we need to come into shore. The Lord's calling us to come in and to come back to the place we're supposed to be. God told us what he wants us to do. We need to do that. And if we find ourselves in a holding pattern, then do what we know to do while we're here and be patient and wait on the Lord. He will give us further instruction in his time. The last thing we want to do is jump out in waters we're not supposed to be in and just start doing something to do it, or worse yet, veer off course from where God has us. It only is going to cause us more mistakes and more issues and more consequences. Guys, come into shore. I don't know where you are this morning, but it's time to come home. Come to shore. You've been out in waters you're not supposed to be in. And you're not getting anywhere. You're not satisfied. Are you satisfied being out there? I know the answer to it. You're not. But if you come into where the Lord already has the fire built, there's going to be warmth. He'll have food waiting that will nourish you spiritually. And he'll love you without yelling at you and welcome you home. Come home. He loves you.
Thank you for listening to another edition of Come to the Table with Pastor Mark Kirk. We're working our way through John, and there's more to gain from this book in God's Word. Before becoming a disciple of Jesus, John had been a simple fisherman. He and his brother were just trying to make a living in a way that seemed reasonable in that time and place. But God gave him a different calling, and it forever changed his life. What about you? What is it that you're doing and that God's called you to? Maybe it's different than what you expected or anticipated, but our hope is that through John's writings, you're coming to a realization of what God's doing in your life as well. Come to the Table is a ministry of Calvary Knoxville in Knoxville, Tennessee. If you're interested in getting to know us in person, come join us. We'd love to meet you and hear what God's doing in your life. Service times can be found at our website, thewaymedia.net. Just look for the Calvary Knoxville tab. If you can't make it in person, join us online. We stream our services through the Way Media app, which you can download from your app store or right from thewaymedia.net. If you have questions about the teaching you heard today, you can call us at 865-609-1385. That number again is 865-609-1385. That's all the time we have for today, but we pray that you found this teaching to be a blessing. We look forward to you joining us for another edition right here in the Book of John. So don't miss the next edition of Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.